Good evening, everyone. Today is January 30th, and welcome to another episode of It Only Takes a Spark. Today, I am so thankful and blessed to have my husband, Blaze, who will be joining us as he reads the gospel. And it's so special to have him, but also here with us and blessed to have him reading the gospel. So, Blaze, go ahead.
The Gospel of Mark, chapter 5, verses 1 to 20. They came to the other side of the sea, to the territory of the Gerasenes. When he got out of the boat, at once a man from the tombs who had an unclean spirit met him. The man had been dwelling among the tombs, and no one could restrain him any longer, even with a chain. In fact, he had frequently been bound with shackles and chains, but the chains had been pulled apart by him and the shackles smashed, and no one was strong enough to subdue him. Night and day among the tombs and on the hillsides, he was always crying out and bruising himself with stones. Catching sight of Jesus from a distance, he ran up and prostrated himself before him, crying out in a loud voice, "What have you to do with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I adjure you by God, do not torment me." He had been saying to him, "Unclean spirit, come out of the man." He asked him, "What is your name?" He replied, "Legion is my name. There are many of us." And he pleaded earnestly with him not to drive them away from their territory. Now a large herd of swine was feeding there on the hillside, and they pleaded with him, "Send us into the swine, let us enter them." And he let them, and the unclean spirits came out and entered the swine. The herd of about 2,000 rushed down a steep bank into the sea, where they were drowned. The swineherds ran away and reported the incident in the town and throughout the countryside, and people came out to see what had happened. As they approached Jesus, they caught sight of the man who had been possessed by Legion, sitting there clothed and in his right mind, and they were seized with fear. Those who witnessed the incident explained to them what had happened to the possessed man and to the swine. Then they began to beg him to leave their district. As he was getting into the boat, the man who had been possessed pleaded to remain with him, but he would not permit him, but told him instead, "Go home to your family and announce to them all that the Lord in his pity has done for you." Then the man went off and began to proclaim in the Decapolis what Jesus had done for him, and all were amazed.
Wow, thank you so much. You did such a great job. And, you know, as you read that particular reading, I just couldn't help but think of, like, is it Steven Spielberg or Stephen King? Is it Stephen King? Okay. It was just like, the fear. I'm like, goosebumps. That's what I was thinking about. I was afraid. I felt like I was afraid, yet I wanted popcorn. I was just mixed. I wanted to run away. I was just mixed with all of that. Like, I probably wanted to see it in the movie theater, but then I would probably be too afraid in this and all mixed up, and it was just very, very scary to think of. Can you imagine what the people in the village, you know, in that town, what they were experiencing knowing that this man was there, you know, just going through that? And I think we all at some point and then in our lives, I've come across somebody who, mental health is real. Whether we want to admit it or not, we've all come across somebody, or whether we want to admit it, someone in our family probably has experiencing some form of mental illness to varying degrees, maybe not like this man, hopefully not like this man in this scripture, but can you imagine what it must have been like for the people in that particular area to know of this man and to hear that, and they're trying to help him by tying him up, trying to prevent him from hurting himself. And certainly our son is autistic, and you see there are some children who are autistic, and our son bites his hand when he gets overly stimulated, and he gets, if his favorite show comes on, he bites his hand and we can't prevent him. Or if he gets really, he'll bite his hand. There are some kids who hit them head themselves in the head, because they get excited, or if they get angry. And that's something that we can't prevent. There are other people who do different things. But in this case, you know, he's possessed by these demons, and he's mad. He's mad. And so he's attacking himself. They're just pretty much going, you know, full throttle, and they're hurt. He's hurting himself to the nth degree. And clearly so. There's not just one demon. It's like a whole legion. There's like a group of them, you know. And what I thought was pretty interesting was that when Jesus asked him his name, he said his name was Legion. He clearly gave his name, but he said, my name is Legion, but there's a whole lot of us. There's more of us in there. And, you know, there's that saying that says, misery loves company. But apparently, you know, evil also loves company as well. I think sometimes when we look at sin, and sin, whether it's, you know, in this case, this man was possessed, and certainly, I don't think that, you know, I'm not saying that he did anything to cause his possession. I'm not saying that at all. But in let's look at in the case of sin. You know, sometimes let's take an example of a small sin, and we think it's minor, and it's not going to hurt anybody, and it's one sin, and that one sin may impact another person, and then it impacts another person and another person, and so forth and so forth. And so that it multiplies. And so I think that in that case, it's something small and it just grows. And so it's a group of sin. And so it's just like in that case, it's like, you know, it started off with that one sin, and it's like, it's the rest. And I think that we have to be very aware that when we are in a situation and we're not aware that something minor can just spread, we have to be very, very, we have to pause and kind of just tap into the Holy Spirit and just allow the Holy Spirit to kind of just be with us. But getting back to that particular reading, what I thought was also interesting was that the swine herd, they went back and they spread the news of what they heard to the people. They went back and they told everybody what they saw, and how the man, the miracle that happened when the man was cured of these demons. And I thought that was really beautiful that they went back and they spread all this great news, and that later on the man wanted to, you know, to be with Jesus. He wanted to, of course, be with the healer, be with the person who was able to relieve him from all these demons. Why wouldn't he want to be with Jesus? I would want to be with Jesus too. I'd want to follow Jesus wherever he went. I would go, you know, whatever he wanted to do, whatever he wanted me to do, I would do it, because he relieved me from the torment that I was experiencing. And Jesus did something that I, you know, that was so beautiful. He didn't use this man as illustration, like, hey, this is exhibit A. This is what how beautiful and how amazing I am. This is what I can do. This is the man that I was able to heal. He didn't walk around and showcase this man at all of his revival. No, he said, go back to your family and your friends and spread the good news of what I have done. Go back. And I think going back to your family and everybody, if everybody in his town knew that this is the man that was possessed and that was walking around doing all those crazy things, banging his head and going stark mad over and over again, and he was going to be a tremendous witness to everyone that knew him. It was going to be a powerful witness than Jesus would ever be walking around taking that man to strange places where people didn't know him. And I thought that was beautiful that Jesus told him, go back to your family and witness to them. And I think we're called to take this story, this powerful story, this story that was scary, you know, starting off scary and gripping, you know, it could like a horror story, but also a story that we can make personal, because we can look at it in a way that it, I think in some way, it can move us in a way that cause us to pause and say that I guess especially in light of what's happening with COVID, with the mental health, and how it kind of morphed in this country, all the people who are facing mental health challenges in our families, in this country, and we see the evidence of that in the shootings, people who are having difficulty with processing emotions and just having, seem like they're having their inability to trying to just challenge, just dealing with emotions, you know, they're fighting their own demons. Maybe they're not dealing with the same types of demons and maybe in biblical times, but they're dealing with a different sets of demons. And we see evidence of that today. And I think I think it's important for us to kind of pause and just be mindful of that today and just ask for forgiveness and grace and patience and peace. And just to be mindful of the families who are having to face with challenges, and families who seem like they're running out of options and looking for additional resources and support, and families who, if you see people who are homeless and feel like they're on the street looking like they're mad, just to say an extra prayer for them and their loved ones. So Father, we pray tonight that we ask for your grace and your gift of love and patience as we deal with our own inner demons, the ones that we are that the world knows about, and the ones that are private, and the ones that that we're still. That are reoccurring. We pray that for all the people who are dealing with mental health challenges and the ones who are faced with challenges that and are still in need of support. And we pray that they find the support that they need, and we pray that they find the connection and love that they need from each other. And Lord, help us to be like you in everything that we say and everything that we do. Brothers and sisters, please share the spark. God bless.